The message I've entitled, The Importance of Clear Communication. And you know, when your hearing ain't too good, it's not always very easy. But you know, nothing is impossible for the Lord. So we just trust in Him that He'll be with me as I bring the message today. I'm going to start with a reading from Matthew 26, and it's starting at verse 36 through to 46. When Jesus went with His disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and He said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with Him, and He began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then He said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with Me." Going a little further, He fell with His face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from Me. Yet, not My will, but as You will." Then He returned to His disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with Me for 1 hour?" He asked Peter. "Watch and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away from Me unless I drink it, may Your will be done." When He came back again, He found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So He left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then He returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's go. Here comes My betrayer." Powerful passage from Matthew. But before we look into it, let's just come to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that You will open up Your word in such a way that there can be no doubt concerning what You have to say to each one of us this morning. I ask, Lord, that You open our ears to hear, and having heard, give us the heart to respond to Your word. Lord, I pray that You'll let my lips be Your lips, and anything that is not of You is blown away like chaff in the wind. Lord, because we only want to hear from You this morning. And we ask it in the precious name of Your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I think it goes without saying that communication is not just very important, it's essential. Without it, what ensues is chaos. Because without communication and direction, just imagine what it would be like. You know, if us men hadn't got the wives to tell us what to do, we'd be lost. We'd be sitting watching TV all day. But we need direction. We need communication. And the communication has got to be two-way. There's no good the wife saying to you, "Rob, go and do the dishes." And you just sit, not doing anything. You're like, "Yes, my dear." And you go and do the dishes. And it's two-way communication. And it works. And harmony ensues then, rather than friction. So communication is very important. From a reading this morning, it's quite clear that it was important to Jesus to maintain regular and good communication with His Father. Can you imagine life without communication? There's an old British telecom advert, and it used to say, "It's good to talk." You know, and if you don't talk, people don't know where you are. You've got to talk. If you've ever been on an aircraft, you know one of the first things they do is they talk to you, don't they? In the event of the aircraft going down, your life jacket is under the seat. But first, make sure your seatbelt's. But they communicate, they let you know what's happening. And some people find it very calming, and other people find it fearful and stressful. But communication is like that. So you've got to be careful on how you deliver it and how it's received. When it's for your own good, you take it on board and enjoy it. When it's something you don't want to hear, it can cause stress and distraction. Linda and I have been on a few cruise ships in our time, and we've enjoyed them. They've been really good. And what makes it good, I think, is because your communication on the ship is quite good. You've got tannoys everywhere. You get woke up in the morning and they'll tell you what's happening, what programs are on, what you can go and see, or what's available at the next port to go and visit. You've got to pay for it, of course, but, you know, the communication is excellent on there when things are going good. Sometimes when things go bad, it can be a bit delayed, the communication, which isn't so good, because then you start to worry, especially if it's stormy seas and what have you. You start to worry what's going on. You know, I haven't heard from anybody for a while. And that's the way it is, I think, with us. If we don't keep in contact with God, we can be lost at sea, as it were, and feel fearful and worried. And that's when we need to realize that we need to be more in communication with the Heavenly Father. It's comforting to know nowadays that when you're on board a ship, for instance, that you've got your own life preserver in your cabin, so nobody else can play with it. You've got to take it whenever you get called up to do your evacuation drills on the ship. And you've got a seat, dedicated seat, on a lifeboat. How things have changed since April 1912, 110 years ago, on the 12th of next month, on board the Titanic, when it sunk. Have you seen the film? You'll know all about this. But there was 1,503 lives lost in that event in icy waters. And as I always say, the ship was built by an Irishman, sunk by an Englishman, you know. But the Lord has sustained those evermore. And out of it, they learned a lesson, because there wasn't enough life preservers, lifeboats on there for everyone. And things have changed since that. So we owe a lot of grateful thanks to the misfortune of those poor people on that ship. Now, on board a ship, it can be very exhilarating, even frightening at times, when the wind gets up and the seas gets rough, especially when you realise just how far you are from dry land. And I'm not a bad swimmer, but the temperatures of the sea and the distance, it is frightening, believe you me. And then it's good to know that there's someone who has the ability and the experience to deal with the conditions that you're in. If you've got a good captain and a good crew, they know what they're doing. So you rely on their experience on occasions like that. You know, whenever that happens, experience, we need help. No matter the captain, he might be the best seafarer on the planet, but he needs help from time to time, especially when he's entering or leaving a strange port with different currents and different tides and shifting sands and what have you, because he can't be expected to be familiar with everything. Then he calls on the help of a qualified pilot to see him in and out of those unfamiliar or less familiar waters to him. Throughout the cruise, he needs to be in communication with a whole range of authorities, all the port authorities, whether he's port he's just left to the port he's going to be arriving at, to know what the conditions are there, so as he knows what they expect. And to let you know if there's going to be rough weather as well, because then you can enjoy it. You know, it's nice to know that the ship, you're on a ship that's well run, and the passengers are kept informed. It's nice to be kept informed. And it's the same with the Lord, you know. It's nice to be kept informed. But the only way we can keep informed is by keeping in touch. Because if you don't have your tunnel is switched on, as it were, you'll not receive the message. In our Christian walk, there will be times when we feel quite capable of coping on our own. Thank you very much. We can do it. That's no problem. We may think we have the experience and the maturity to do everything and anything in our own strength. But you know, just as the captain, when confronted with new and strange situations, we too can find ourselves out of our depth when we need and require the help of our pilot, the Holy Spirit. Our Lord and Savior was well aware of our need for a pilot. Remember what he directed his apostles to do as we read from Acts 1, verses 4 to 5. He says to them, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit." Powerful words. I'm sure they didn't realize what was going to happen whenever those words were spoken, but on the day of Pentecost, they knew. If you read it on the scripture. In the passage we read from Matthew, it's quite clear that Jesus did not make plans without first praying to his Father. He did not operate in his own strength. He was always in communication with the Father, and he was well aware of the Father's will. As Christians, we are called upon to become more like Jesus, aren't we? So I put it to you that that's only possible if we follow the example that Jesus has laid out for us to follow. If we hope to grow to become more like the Son, don't we need to behave like the Son? Don't we? I can almost hear the clogs turning now. You're all thinking, "Now that's a really hard thing to do." And yes, I thoroughly agree with you. It is hard. I'd go as far as to say that it's impossible to do it in our own strength. But that doesn't mean that we should not keep on trying, to keep on persevering. We need to remember what Scripture tells us, that with God's help, nothing is impossible. It is my belief that God's will for us to grow into the likeness of his Son, it's not born out of selfish motivation, but one of love for each one of us. For if we become more like Jesus, then we'll want to communicate much more with the Father, won't we? Just as he did, following his example. If we remain in his will and do the things in his strength, how much fuller and better will our lives be? There'll be less stress, more joy. Then we can build up our strength and receive encouragement. But we'll only get that if we remain in him and in communication with him. But and the way we do that is by reading and meditating on his word. As we read in Romans 8, 6 to 8, where we're told, "The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by sinful nature cannot please God." Wow, powerful, powerful words. On the other hand, just to lighten your mood a little bit, if we read on a bit further in Romans 8, verses 14 to 17, now this will lift your soul. "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. Wow, isn't that uplifting? If we try to operate in our own strength without the Holy Spirit, we're heading for a fall. We're bound to stumble somewhere along the line. And it just depends on how far or how hard you stumble, how hard you fall, or how deeply you fall. But you know, if you rely on the Holy Spirit, he will uphold you, and you won't stumble. So whatever you do, it's important that we try to operate in his strength and not on our own. Remember what we read in Romans 8, verse 6 there just a minute ago. I'm just reading a bit of it. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. I don't know about you, but I know which I would prefer. I'd rather live the life of peace offered by the Holy Spirit than trying to make my own peace, because I'm not very good at making lunches, am I, dear? But let's take a look at what Galatians has to say in chapter 5, verses 14 to 26. I want to look at the first few verses. I think it's the first four verses of this, independently. So hopefully they'll come up here independently. And I'm going to do chapter 5, verses 14 to 26. But I say the first four I want to do independently. Starting at verse 14 then. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Now this too is easier said than done if we try to do it in our own strength. But that doesn't mean to say that it's impossible, because with the Holy Spirit's help, remember what Scripture tells you, nothing is impossible. Moving on to verse 15, in which we are warned, if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. You know, it's only God's love that can prevent this situation. You know, it's only possible to avoid it by operating in his strength. We'll never do it on our own. We move on to verse 16. It says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. We need to remember our pilot, the Holy Spirit, the pilot that our Lord sent us to help us through any unfamiliar waters and troubles that we might encounter. And moving on to verse 17, we read, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. This reaffirms, I believe, our need for the Holy Spirit, that we can't operate in our own strength. You know, there's one thing, operating in the flesh, when you take the H off the end of it and read it backwards, what do you get? You get self, S-E-L-F. And that's what Scripture means when it refers to operating in the flesh. It's being operating alone, self, putting yourself first, and it's something that we need to be aware of and try to avoid. Reading on then, straight through from verse 18. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. What a powerful bit of scripture. Now, being a Christian is hard, and it can be hard enough at times, but without the Holy Spirit, I would go as far as to say it's impossible. As we were told in Romans 8, verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children, and it's only then that we can call him Abba Father. Now, there's no need for you to be discouraged this morning. We need to hold on, not be discouraged by what's happening in the world, in Ukraine, a time terrible as it is. We need to remember who is in control ultimately, and that is our Lord and Savior. He is the one that's in control. And I wouldn't like to disappoint you, so I've got my old friend Jeremiah for you now. Jeremiah 29:11-13, which reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Now, what a scripture. That's all about communication. You notice you've got to pray. You've got to come pray to me, and he will listen to you. Then you've got to seek him, and you will find him. But you've got to seek him with all your heart. How can we do that? Well, the Lord gives us directions and encouragements through the scriptures, his word, the word of the Lord. That's why it's important for us to study them, so that we can store up supplies, as it were, to meet the drought that we will come across, so that we've got oil in our lamps when darkness falls to see us through. Scripture shows us how to be overcomers, how to deal with whatever problems that might come our way. How should we react then? A lovely proverb, 16 and verse 3. "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans." Yes, we need to pray for direction from God in all things. Before we start, not wait until the wheels come off the wagon, as it were, and everything starts to fall apart. We need to consult him, and he will direct our steps. Making decisions. How do we make decisions about what we're going to do? Again, his word tells us quite clearly in Ephesians 5, 15 to 17, which reads, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." It's important that we know what the Lord's will is, and the only way that we can be sure of the Lord's will is by keeping in communication with him through reading our Bible, meditating upon it, and praying regularly. That's the word, that's the important thing, regularly, not just on a Sunday, not on high days and holy days, as the saying goes. If you do that, you'll avoid stress. In Psalm 46, 1-3, tells us, this is the stress reliever, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and mountains quake with their surging." You know, wow. What a wonderful God we have. Amen. And there are many, many more useful and helpful scriptures full of advice that will see you through any problem that you come across in this life, any difficult situation that may arise, and I'm sure you're well aware of those scriptures. So I would encourage you to study your Bible regularly and prayerfully. Consider what ministry you feel that God might be calling you to, because he's got a ministry for each one of his children. And once you hear from the Lord what ministry he wants you to get involved in, get involved and maintain a good two-way communication with him. And it's important that it is a two-way communication. Don't just do all the talking, because like me, if I just talk to myself, eventually I start talking a load of rubbish. Yeah? So I've got to listen to a higher authority to clear it out, as it were, and recharge the batteries. And we all need a touch from the Lord time to time. And we need to remember we can communicate with him, as we've already heard this morning from Rob's reading from Word for Today. We can communicate with him any time of the day or night, 24 hours a day. He's always available. Office hours do not apply. He is always ready and willing to hear from his children, just as us parents are always ready and willing to hear from our children, as long as they don't disturb us when they were watching Ireland beating England at rugby, you know, we're all right. But there we go. I got it in. John, 1 John, chapter 3, verses 2 to 3. Very encouraging. "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure." Yes, we need to know who's in control. We need to give him total control. And then we can enjoy the rewards of knowing him in his goodness. As we read already in Jeremiah 29:11-13, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Yes, it's clear from Scripture, no matter what Scriptures you read, that the Lord wants you and I. He wants every part of us. He loves our to the bones, as the saying goes. And he wants everything. He doesn't want just a little bit. He doesn't just want you on a Sunday morning for half an hour and a half or whatever. He wants you 24/7. And you know what? He deserves nothing less when you consider what he's done for each one of us. You know, if anyone's listening to this and they haven't yet considered their position, there is only one way that you can have communication, total communication with the Lord, and that is being in the family. Because, like you and I, we don't give our phone numbers out to just any Tom, Dick and Harry, but we give it out to our family, and we'll listen to our family on the phone when it's something we don't want to hear. Or if it's somebody else trying to sell you something on the phone, you just say, "Not interested. Hang up." You know, the Lord will not hang up on you if you earnestly seek him with all your heart. And salvation is there for the asking. If you feel the Holy Spirit calling you, I suggest that you listen earnestly to it and take action upon what your heart is telling you to do. And you know what? It'll be the best decision you've ever made. So with that, I'll let you think about that. Let's just come to the Lord in prayer again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son. And Jesus, we thank you that you willingly went to that cross, knowing what led ahead, knowing that many would reject you even after the sacrifice you made for each one of us. Lord, we acknowledge that we are needy people who need and rely on your love, your mercy, and your grace, without which we would not be able to operate. We thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, we ask you to encourage us to use it in our daily walk with you as we wait upon the return of your Son. And we say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Amen.